Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Boston's first pot shop is open for business. Pure Oasis in the Grove Hall neighborhood welcomed its first customers this morning. Owners Kobe Evans and Kevin Hart are the state's first economic empowerment applicants to open a store. That's the license designed to aid individuals and communities disproportionately impacted by the war on drugs. We sat down with one of the owners, Kobe, while the store was still under construction. You'll hear the power drill going in the background, as he tells us why it was important to him and his partner to bring economic empowerment to their community.
When they wrote the ballot measure, the equity components were built to address some of those issues. And so my partner and I said, you know, it would be a good opportunity for someone from our community to take advantage of this. And we said, well, why not us? And so I think that was an impetus for us to get involved, because we felt like it would be a good opportunity to take advantage and also a good opportunity to give back and to create generational wealth, not for only for ourselves, but also for people in the community.
We've heard a lot that while the state has been well-intentioned in providing these licenses, it's incredibly hard to get one. Has that been your experience?
No, that has not necessarily been my experience. I think the hardest part of the whole endeavor is the local phase, because you need a host agreement from each municipality.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And
sorry.
So it's the host agreement that's the hardest to get. When they wrote the ballot measure, it was pretty concise in what the expectation was. But when they wrote the final law, there was a variation in the law that allowed for local municipalities to have control in terms of who was able to receive a host agreement. And the vast majority of cities and towns do not take equity into consideration when they grant these host agreements.
The other thing that we've heard, and we've talked to the head of the Cannabis Control Commission about this as well, is one might be able to get a license, but there has to be capital investment as well. And with marijuana still being illegal federally, it can be very difficult to get access to the capital that you need to open a business. How has your experience been?
We've been contacted by numerous investors who are ready, willing, and able to invest in this business, because the perception and some of the reality is that it can be very lucrative. So wherever you have those opportunity, people want to invest. But the harder part is the viability or the opportunity for people like Kevin, I, and a number of other economic empowerment applicants who have a hard time getting a host agreement. So in terms of who is more likely to get a host agreement, numbers dictate that people in the equity program are least likely to get a host agreement, vis-a-vis they are less attractive for investment because their viability is low.
And if you don't mind me asking, what is the investment? What does it take to open Pure Oasis financially?
So again, we took a model where we were just going to do retail. And retail is somewhere between, you can spend as little as maybe $250,000 up to $500,000. But the sky is the limit when it comes to anything in this nature. You can spend as much as you want. The harder part when you get into the cannabis industry is the cultivation. Cultivation can be millions and millions of dollars based on all the nuances that go along with what you're trying to do in terms of...
You mean growing?
Growing, yes. Growing in terms of lighting, in terms of ventilation, water purification, even as much as the nutrients that you feed the plants. It's a very technical endeavor, and so it just is a very costly endeavor as well. And if you become someone who is retailing as well as growing, your overall cost to get started is in the millions. But if you're just doing retail, you can easily get this started for $300,000.
We are here in the heart of Grove Hall. The Grove Hall Mecca Mall is, you know, like 100 feet up.
Yeah.
How is Grove Hall receiving your business?
I think all camps of people support us as people from the community, and they want us to succeed. I think that no matter where you are in this country, you will always have an idea or belief that you support something, but just not in your backyard. We don't take it personally when we see people who aren't receptive to what we are doing, because we understand that those objections aren't personal to us. no matter what the endeavor is, if it's something new changing someone's neighborhood, they're apprehensive about accepting that new change. And so that's what we understand that's happening in the community, is that it's something new and people are hesitant to accept change in their community. But in our travels, we have seen that this kind of change doesn't have a negative effect, and that's the only reason that we are here in Grove Hall, because we know and we believe that it will add jobs to the community, it will add philanthropy, it will add charity, it will add economic empowerment to this neighborhood. And at the end of the day, we want to be good business partners and good neighbors and create a relationship that is beneficial to everyone.
Grove Hall is a historically Black neighborhood, very politically active historically.
Yeah.
Has there been sides mobilizing for and against your presence here, or has it been more of a quiet conversation?
It's a quiet conversation. I think that you have a minority of people that have a loud voice that, you know, will echo some concerns, but we have encountered far greater amounts of people who are in support of our endeavor than we have of any controversy or any people that are protesting. It's a nuanced neighborhood, you know, and I think that at the end of the day, I don't want anything that would be detrimental to my neighborhood. And so I think that in time, people will see that it will be an asset more than a liability.
There's been a market in sales and purchases of marijuana, despite the fact that it's illegal. It seems unlikely that that underground market will go away. Do you have concerns about being able to compete with the underground market when you open your store?
No, I mean, I think that what we see across the state is lines on top of lines of people who want some sort of a convenience, some safety, some assurances. With the illegal market, from what I understand, is that you are only able to purchase what the person selling you this illegal product has. And now you are able to make an educated purchase and know exactly what you're buying and also what the effects are. And you have the ability to have variety.
We're only a few hundred feet from the Grove Hall Mecca Mall.
Mm-hmm.
We're also a pretty quick walk through that parking lot to the Burke High School.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the critics of Pure Oasis coming to this neighborhood have said that's too close to an illegal, potentially illegal, young and influenceable market. How do you think about that? Did you have any concerns about that proximity? And what are you putting in place to ensure that young people are not sneaking their way in, using fake IDs to come in, finding a way to use your product illegally?
So again, the state, the regulations took into account what is called diversion to make sure that no product from our marketplace ends up in the hands of someone who is underage. Our license is at stake if that were to ever happen. And studies have also indicated that when you have a robust legal market, it tamps down access to people who are underage because there aren't as many people selling it in the black market. So all indication is that when you have more people like Pure Oasis in neighborhoods, less people who are underage have the opportunity to go visit their neighborhood illegal black market to get the product. And so also, no one can even get into our store without having a valid identification that goes through our electronic scanner that makes sure that it's an authentic ID, that it's not a fake ID, and that this person is who they say they are. And then also, we have the ability to track our packaging. If for some reason we found that our packaging was ever associated with, say, a young person, we would be able to go back to figure out exactly where that young person got that package and to report that to the police and ban the person who was responsible for that act. So again, in being a good neighbor, it is our responsibility to make sure that we keep our neighbors safe and that none of our product is even reaches the hands of someone who's underage. That's our moral obligation as well as our legal obligation.
Kobe, the American economy really thrives on small business and on small business entrepreneurs.
You are one now. What is your dream and vision for Pure Oasis 5 years from now?
I love to be able to have the luxury of thinking about 5 years. Unfortunately, I can only look 5 minutes, 5 days ahead of me right now. You know, but I think that overall, we just want to be able to demonstrate to our neighbors and to people in our community that it is possible to be, you know, a thriving business owner from the community and be economically successful and be able to give back. I think more importantly, when they wrote the ballot measure, what they were thinking about is creating opportunities for people like me, because it has a value that radiates beyond just me. I think that if you go to any city where they have opportunities for people of color, I think that you'll see a common denominator of mentors and role models and people who are successful, and that's what the younger generation will aspire to be.
That's Kobe Evans, co-owner of Pure Oasis, Boston's first pot shop, which opened today.